what an absolute dream come true it must be to get this call from a publisher who says, we're going to put together a book about Edgar Allan Poe's great works, and we want you to be the sole illustrator for the whole thing. And by the way, you get to work in full color and have full page images.
Actually, fairly impressive, or I was very happy with it, but then it was also very daunting as well, because normally most of my work, an art director will call me from a newspaper or magazine, and I'm doing one or three illustrations, whereas this required closer to 100.
I'm looking forward to talking with you more about your day-to-day work life as a professional illustrator and graphic designer, but I want to focus on this book a little bit first and just talk about what it takes to create, as you say, almost 100 illustrations that have such variety but also have a very studied continuity to them. They all have this sort of time-worn, aged look to them. They've been discovered in this dusty old attic somewhere, and they've got these they're full of reds and blacks and eggshell yellows and blues and greens. Talk about what goes into creating an aesthetic for a project of this scale.
Well, the great thing about a lot of illustration projects is basically it's like your teacher giving you a book report, but instead of writing words, you get to make the pictures. In this case, I had to read an awful lot of Poe. I was familiar with Poe, but I certainly wouldn't consider myself a Poe expert now, and I certainly wasn't before. So basically, the team at Spur collected the stories and poems that we thought were going to be the best visually to do. In this case, the big part of the job was really researching and reading the manuscripts and trying to find what in these stories could really be illustrated.
So you did your homework, you read a lot of Poe, you chose the works with the most visual potential, and then it got down to putting pen to paper or mouse to a computer screen. You could have taken any number of opportunities, I should say, to indulge in blood and gore with these illustrations, but it feels like there's like a real restraint here in a way, and it's almost like the menace is something that's happening just off the edge of the page. I wonder if you could talk about, you know, what you've learned about what makes an image truly scary.
Well, really, I took the lead from Poe. Poe really tries to create an atmosphere in his stories. He's not really doing slasher movies. He's really, the horror is psychological. There's a lot of sweating brows throughout his work. And in that regard, I wanted the book to be a all-ages book. I mean, I guess you wouldn't give it to really first graders, but it certainly is safe for a middle school kid. So in that regard, I wanted to try to keep the images, the horror is really sort of off the page or in the reader's mind.
There are a lot of images of faces with sometimes the eyes are blacked out, sometimes the eyes demonstrate that the heads are hollow. I wonder if you paid extra attention to the eyes in this book.
An illustration trope is to sort of remove the identity from the character. It allows the viewer to sort of place themselves into the picture a little more. The eyes are really the key to someone's identity. When you remove that identity, you make the character in the illustration a lot more identifiable to the viewer.
Edgar Allan Poe, Stories and Poems Illustrated by David Plunker. That's the title of this new hardcover full-color volume. It's being released this week by Rockport Publishers. Baltimore-based illustrator David Plunkert is here with us this week on The Signal. And David, talk about how you got into this line of work in the first place. I mean, tell me about how you became a professional illustrator.
Well, I was trained as a graphic designer, which is distinct from being an illustrator. Graphic designer is really more of a visual problem solver in a way that an illustrator might be but isn't necessarily. An illustrator is usually more involved in creating a picture. So I was working as a graphic designer here in Baltimore, and I was making illustrations on the side, really. And I then got laid off, and I had this portfolio of pictures, and I walked it around to magazine art directors, and I started getting work. Started getting enough work to the point where I didn't really need to go get another job as a graphic designer. I still think like a graphic designer, so basically, when I make an illustration, I'm sort of making what we used to call graphic design comps. I'm using cut paper. I'm getting found images. I'm not really trained as an illustrator. So it's really just things I've kind of picked up in my time of being a graphic designer.
I wonder if you could just talk about what your work life is like day to day. I mean, what's an average day at the office like for you?
Well, it's great because my wife, Joyce Hesselberth, who is also an illustrator and graphic designer, about 15 years ago, we purchased a warehouse in Hamden, and that's kind of like our idea factory, where we can kind of go in every day and make art, make illustrations, do graphic design.
Walk me through the steps of the iterative process. Like when you're working on an illustration, you'll get an assignment, and then What happens between then and when the client says, thank you, this is perfect?
Well, normally someone will say, are you interested in the project? We'll talk about budget. They'll send me a story draft. The story is interesting. I'll read it all the way through. Sometimes I just read the first paragraph. Sometimes I just read the last. And sometimes the headline gives me enough to leap on to come up with an image. At that point, I start thumbnailing. And thumbnailing is basically just quick little doodles. That's usually the best part of the process. That's where you find something that will hopefully intrigue the reader to read more of the story. The one thing that's key, I think, about illustration is that the art is in service to that story. The actual definition of illustration is to illuminate the text. I do try to keep that in mind. At that point, we send the sketches to the art director. I usually try to give them two or three ideas to choose from. One idea if I'm feeling a little bit frail or if I have a really great idea. Mm-hmm. The art director normally will come back. Sometimes the editor might have some involvement in the process. And at that point, you make the final illustration based on the sketch.
Talk to me a little bit more about your technique, David. You mentioned this graphic design background and the idea that you're almost more of a collage-minded artist with these found images. How much are you relying on pencils and ink pens and paper versus computers and software?
The end result now, everything pretty much goes through the computer at the end because that's how you really supply things to clients and to printers these days. But there's a certain amount of handwork that goes at the beginning of that point. So I'm still doing a fair amount of cutting with an X-Acto knife, scissors. There's still a lot of paint that goes on. Again, there's no transfer of final art going to anyone anymore. It's all, in the end, created digitally.
You do your own original artwork, too, work that's unconnected to any texts. I wonder if you might talk about what kind of a different challenge it is to illustrate for an assignment versus, you know, looking at that blank slate.
Well, the blank slate, you can, fortunately, and I guess maybe unfortunately, you can abandon those projects. So there's no deadline. The deadline is the thing that really kind of pushes something towards the finish line. The open-ended art project ends up being that thing that you come in and, like, dabble on every now and then.
I wonder if you could talk about what your greatest and most persistent frustration is as a working illustrator.
Oh, I would have to say probably my greatest frustration would just be with my own limitations. The world is full of fantastic artists, and you'll do something and you'll realize, boy, you know, I could have done a better job on that foot. And as a graphic designer, I'm kind of trained to sort of look for problems with projects. So I'm constantly nagging myself about trying to make something better. And I'm slow to improve.
It's sort of a distinct challenge to talk about this field on the radio. And I wonder if you might, like, paint some kind of a verbal picture of your style or favorite styles to work in, this kind of overarching continuity to your work. I mean, with this Poe book, for example, there's an element of that kind of American horror story sideshow kind of quasi-cartoonish but quasi-scary. There's kind of a steampunk aesthetic to some of your stuff. There are a lot of robots and kind of oddly industrial-looking elements. And as you say, it's all collaged together to create these giant images that are made of smaller images. I don't know. I mean, how would you describe the aesthetic that you're aiming for?
You just did a really good job of doing it yourself, really. I would say years ago, my work was described as being artfully artless. I would say that I kind of shoot for that. I want something to sort of look like people worked on it. So like you said earlier, you know, they just have a thing that looks like it was dusty and kind of sitting in the basement molding for a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, again, I tried to take the lead from Edgar Allan Poe and try to make something that looked contemporary, but at the same time, you could really believe would go with his stories.
David Plunkett of Spur Design in Baltimore. You can check out his work online at spurdesign.com. This week, Rockport Publishers releases the book Edgar Allan Poe, Stories and Poems Illustrated by David Plunkett. And if you'd like to meet David and hear him talk about his work, he's going to be at a book signing event on the morning of Saturday, December 6th from 10 a.m. to noon at the B&O Railroad Museum. Details are online at poe.baltimore.org. And David, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Aaron.